Hello and welcome to the Raising Kilin podcast. My name is Marsh Naidu and I blog at raisingkilin.org, where we curate resources for parents raising children with disabilities. Y'all, it is Thanksgiving weekend and I can hardly believe it. Just less than a month left to Christmas. Today we are joined by a special guest. So grab that cup of coffee, put your feet up, and get ready for some awesome conversation. I am super excited to be speaking with Melanie Westmoreland. She is going to be telling us some possible gift ideas for your child this coming Christmas. The ideas that Melanie and I are going to be discussing are ideas more along the lines of therapeutic toys. And for a toy to be therapeutic, you really need to discuss with your individual physical therapist, occupational therapist, and speech therapist to see if the gift ideas are aligned and will supplement your child's goals. So, Melanie, please introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hello, everyone. So I'm Melanie Westmoreland. I'm a mother to two little girls. I call us a blended household. So we have neurotypical and we have neurodivergent in our home. We implement a lot of fun activities, things to keep our spirits up. We try to focus on the good and we do a lot of play here. So I did my top 10. And it's things that we have at home. So they're tried and true. And they benefit both the girls. So no matter what the needs are, I feel like, these are enjoyable, you know, and like Marsh said, everyone's different. So some may like some of them and some may, you know, some of them may not benefit you, but I'm excited to show you guys and tell you guys, a little bit about stuff that's on our list.
I am super excited, Melanie. All right, so number one on your list.
Number one is magnetiles. So the magnetiles are blocks and they're magnetic, and the creativity end of this is endless. So whether your child likes superheroes, Barbies, so my girls can incorporate it with anything they play, and their imagination, you know, create, like I said, creativity, they build with them. They can incorporate it with other things that they're playing with. We homeschool, so I can also use that for geometry and things like that, and building shapes, and so it's educational as well. And my Macy, so I didn't get too much into like diagnoses, but my Macy had a stroke at birth, and the dexterity and things like that, fine motor, a lot of the things that I'll list will be beneficial for things like that. So magnetiles we've had since about age 3 or 4, and we've utilized that, and we still enjoy it, and we're 12.
Just remember as well, what we've done is that we've created a Facebook post of pictures of all these items. So hop over to the Raising Kilin Facebook page and you would be able to see what these items look like. And then you can also then buy them from whichever retail distributor you want to. That's up to you. Melanie, what is number two on your list?
So number two is bubble puzzles. And what those are is, it's a puzzle and it's a pre-made diagram. And so each of the colors has a designated circle to place in. It's a step above, the chunky puzzles, like when they're younger. So it's the same idea, but it's fun and it takes longer. So it occupies them longer, but it's still with enough ease that it keeps their attention as they get older. But anyway, you do the little circles into each one. Another thing, if you have a child that's a little bit past that, in the same category, is sticker by number. They really enjoy that. They do. And it's the same, like patterns. Like it can be educational, but it can also just be something you take. Like we took them to church That was a toy that kept them occupied, and it comes in a little case. So that's nice. You could take it on trips. You can take it on car rides, like a quiet activity if you need something to keep them occupied. But it's also really bright and colorful. So it's the perfect thing for like, wow, you know, on Christmas, it's one of those, like the magnetiles. It's like, whoa, what a toy, you know, it's kind of like we're tricking them into learning.
I love it. Number three on your list, Melanie, is a really interesting one. I must admit, we have one and I'm always like, oh my goodness, you need to go play outside with this. But what is number three?
Okay, so number three is kinetic sand. And what I have that, I list it with sensory bins. And that's something that we have faithfully, especially in the early years of diagnosis. We were very adamant on touch, senses, and things like that. But we would hide her favorite toys in the kinetic sand. And you know, my daughter has right side weakness. So obviously we'd say, use your right hand. And she would have to go through with that hand to find her toys. And then as she got older, it was more of building. It was like using it like sandcastles and things like that. We ordered the tools. And it's really neat because you can get so many things now. Like, it'll make paw prints in the sand. It rolls. There's a lot of neat tools. There's ice cream sets to play food. And my thing is, I'm a clean freak. Okay. I don't know if that's a talent or a curse, but I feel Marsha's pain. But I found that kinetic sand is much easier to clean because it's magnetic. So it sticks together. And when you sweep it up, we just chunk it. So we don't save it because it gets dirt in it. So when we sweep it up, we chunk it. And then we just buy new kinetic sand for our sets. So whatever that, yeah, it's not so when you're not having to pick the hair, yeah, pieces of hair or the dirt out of it, you know. And so we just, when we get low, then we get another kinetic sand and refill it. Another neat thing with the kinetic sand and the sensory bin aspect is you can buy themed sets for occasions. So my daughter, Macy, we also are on the autism spectrum. And so we go through phases where we have intense, like, things that we're interested in. And they move, you know. So we'll be super interested in one character or one type of animal for a couple weeks. And then we're like, oh, we want to watch shows about something else. And we want to, you know, so what was really fun is being able to order sensory kits that would come. And so they would come with like glitter in the sand, or unicorns or dinosaurs, and it was fun for me too, because when we opened those up, then we could go through and, oh my goodness, you know, it's like the surprise element. And a lot of the toys that neurotypicals are into is like the LOLs and the dolls and the opening packages that are like a surprise. So for our kiddos, like, it's double good because they get the sensory input with the kinetic sand and the, you know, the objects. And I mean, there's water bead sets, there's any kind of thing that your child does well with or responds well with. There's all kinds of ideas out there.
All right, Melanie, you're getting me excited. So number four on your list.
Yes, is simple, but so effective. And that's a weighted stuffed animal. They come in different weights, depending upon your child. So they have like 2 pound, 4 pound, even heavier ones, depending on how much input they need as far as weight.
Number five.
So number five is huge in our house, and that is a sensory swing. And we've had it for a couple years now. And honestly, before we had to end up buying a separate one for my daughter, my neurotypical daughter, because they would argue and fight over the sensory swing. Obviously, a swing in your bedroom is pretty awesome. But Macy, we began to notice that she would go in there when she was upset, if she was stressed out, if there was too much going on in the home. And that's where we would find her, was just regulating in the sensory swing. And it's a pod, so it gives you a gentle hug on the shoulders as well. You know, you can lean back, you can be inside the pod completely, or it can just be like a swing that, you know, you're half out of. But if you don't have the capacity to hang it from your ceiling, from your joists or whatnot, which is what we recommend, just because as they get older, you know, Macy's 12, so she's over 100 pounds. So if your child is much smaller, one of the things you can get is like a frame, like a frame that the swing is in for the bedroom, which would be fine.
Number six, Melanie, I love this one. We have this one as well. So number six on Melanie's top 10 gift ideas for this Christmas.
Okay, is a bubble lamp. And they come in all sorts and sizes. You can get the kind with sea creatures in them. It's really cute as the jellyfish because they look really real. Oh. Yes, and we actually, the first time I saw one of those was at Jackson. We Rock the Spectrum. And okay. I was like, where did you get this lamp? And it was one of the first things that you saw when you walked in.
Wow.
And I had seen something similar before at the Children's Hospital at Riley Children's when we lived up north. And they had a huge one. So they do sell these that are like our height. So like they come in all shapes and sizes. We tend to do the more simple because Macy, we have so many stuffed animals, so we can't fit much else, but they're really cute. All colors, they can change colors. And I noticed that a lot of kids use those for sleep.
The bubble lamp. Yeah.
They like running them at night. So you could use it for a nightlight as well.
Cool. Number seven
is a big deal around here. So number seven is our Yodo audio player. Macy, we were very concerned with auditory processing at one point. And she's always been able to read, but we were worried about comprehension and things like that. But when it came to watching TV, obviously, as most kids, like, it came natural. You know, they can sit through a movie and they can, but we wanted her to be able to listen through a show or listen to a book. That doesn't come natural for all kids, you know, sitting there. And so Macy, she really loves Disney characters. And so that was a big plus for the Yodo audio player. And what it is, it's cards. So you can order, if your child likes a certain series of books, she likes Diary of a Wimpy Kid. So we were able to order the actual novel. And so she would listen to that. And by the time she was done, it may take 2 weeks, you know, of nighttime listening a little bit before bed each time, but she was able to finish that book. And what we found, kids that, which we homeschool now, but we did go to public school, and those books are part of the accelerated reader program. So she was able to test on those and get her AR points. Wow. So yes, that was a double positive. But you can order any of the cards, and now the Yodo audio player, you can choose to get the bigger one. It's about, you know, I don't know, 4x4 inches, or you can get a small travel one that's like 2x2, and you can take it on road trips and things like that. They can be plugged up to headphones. You can use it just like you would like a mini DVD player. It also works as an alarm clock, as a clock. So it tells you what time it is. If you say, give me an update, it'll say it's, you know, Monday, November the 15th, you know, it'll tell you the date, the time. And it also shows you, like, some kiddos have trouble once they go to bed at night knowing, is it morning, is it night, is it time to get up, is it not? And it shows you a moon until time to wake up, and then it'll show you the sun. So it works like, okay, it's safe to get up now. You know, mom said I could get up at so-and-so time. So that it doubles as that. So that's nice. But yeah, we really enjoy that. And this is one of the items now that we were able to get recommendation for from our pediatrician for auditory processing. I mean, there's a great realm of things that can be helped by an audio player. So that's what we were saying. Go to your therapist or your, you know, your pediatrician. And if they recommend this, if you are, if you have the Katie Beckett waiver, you can get reimbursed.
Awesome, Melanie. So number 8 and 9 kind of tie in together.
Some parents, you know, screen time's a big deal. I was one of the parents that was like, absolutely no screen time, no TV when she was small. We didn't know how it would affect her brain with having a stroke. You know, we were just so cautious, careful. She was my first. So, you know, but anyway, so we didn't really go into a tablet or screen time too quickly. But what we have found is that with being on the autism spectrum, giving her screen time has been a huge win for us personally. She has learned to mimic social conversations, and it has helped her learn appropriate response. So sometimes when you give a little, you know, obviously we have limits. Yes. On our screen time and protective things like the different things you can put for how much time and what can come on there. YouTube Kids is amazing. That's what we use. But anyway, so we invested in a tablet and obviously a protective case. We didn't do that the first time, and hundreds of dollars later, a nice, pretty case with a handle and things like that, especially if they have a weakness in you know, dexterity or their hands. It's nice to have one of the cases that props them up for you. There's several options out there, but the Amazon Fire tablet is a really good one. We had those before we jumped into an iPad or anything like that, and they actually come with the props and the handles, and it's really nice for kiddos with special needs. And one thing we loved was the Osmo Kit, number 8. It goes hand in hand with that tablet. And so what that does, it makes learning fun. And it is like a little, it's a red piece that mirrors your camera on your tablet. And so it shows them what their hands are doing on the table in front of them. And it shows on the screen how they're placing the objects. So they're physically able to, like, the screen will say, what's one, just say 1 + 1. They have the numbers on the table in front of them, and they're able to put 1 + 1 = 2, and it makes it correct on the screen.
And guys, that's Osmo. So it's OSMO Kit number 9 you have as the
tablet.
The tablet. Yes. Guys, so that is Melanie's list, right? So those are the top kind of gift ideas for you to discuss with your therapist. One thing that comes in at number 10 is a Gab phone. Now, I do understand that, you know, parents might have different philosophy about the phone, but I just want there to be an awareness, because I had no idea that this even existed. And when Melanie kind of mentioned it, I'm like, wow. You know, personally, we're not ready for it, but it's just good to know that it exists. So, mm-hmm. Melanie, tell us a little bit about how you found this item and how you'll use it.
We had an incident where Macy was scared of something and felt in danger. And rather than going to an adult or grown up, she headed down the driveway. And so it was a moment where we were like, whoa. She didn't have a phone. It was a couple years ago, so I'd say about 10 years old. She didn't have a phone to call us. We had thought about the watches, which is another avenue, I should say, of the GABB. It's GABB. And what these have is GPS. So I can click the GABB app on my cell phone, and it shows that, I mean, down to like what, say she was at Walmart and she had it in her little pouch, I could know what aisle I could go find her on. She's gotten a lot better with that, to where she keeps up with us a little bit better. Like if we're walking in the store, you know, she's not in the buggy anymore. But that was just something. And Macy has a lot of sensory, so wearing a watch wasn't something she could handle. We were going to do the watch where it just said, like, call mom, call dad button. But it just worried us because if she got sweaty or just felt tight, she would take that off. It definitely depends on what age and at what, you know, how able they are to be responsible and things like that. She has like a little side purse, a really lightweight. It's actually a knit, like a crocheted purse that she keeps it in. And we mainly take it now for like if we go to something fun, something big, like a mall, a theme park. But if she, you know, if she's in danger, she knows that's in a centralized place in her room. She can go grab it. Now, Macy does not use it to communicate, but she's not a communicator. When she was in public school, all of the friends were, they have cell phones. How do I say this? Like, we weren't going to bend under the pressure to, you know, cave to something that was, that will do harm. You know, phones are a big responsibility, especially, but this doesn't come with the social media. It doesn't come with the apps. It has no, there's no way to get apps. All it has is like, you can approve it, but we let her have the weather, because we wanted her to learn, you know, if I want to know what the weather is, but the texting and calling, it's only the numbers that you want them, you know, we put in just the numbers that we wanted her to have for safety. They can text, but everything comes as a record to you. So if they've sent eight, I think Macy sent like 3 texts in 1 month, but she, you know, she would forget to follow up with her cousin, you know, they would tell, you know, so, I mean, it definitely depends on the child, but it's cheap. There's no contracts. You can just pay it's like $30 a month, but there's no contract involved. So we liked it for that. It wasn't, you know, very expensive. They do promotions where the phones are free a lot of the time. We've never had a problem with service. But it just depends on where you're at. I know all the kids are asking for a phone this year. I will say that when Macy got it and realized it wasn't a free-for-all phone that she could watch YouTube Kids on, she was a little disappointed. But, you know, it's an option. There are options out there. If your kiddo will wear a watch, they can still talk to you and dad in times of need. And, you know, GPS is on those as well. And our waiver, we were able to get help with that from our waiver for the cost of the phone and the service monthly. So that's an idea. Depending on your child's needs, you know, I don't know what diagnoses comes, you know, what all would be covered, but with autism, that was a cover for us. And anyway, so take that with a grain of salt, parents.
There you go. Melanie, thank you so much for your time. And you have done so much of research, you know, before you actually got these items for your kids. And there's been a lot of hard work and love that has gone into sourcing them. So thank you for sharing this with other parents. You know, we're all in this together and we kind of help and support each other in this big way. So thank you for your time, Melanie.
Thank you. You know, we love you, Mar.
Oh, you are so welcome, Melanie. Have a great day. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for listening along on the podcast today. Please remember to rate this episode and leave a review on your podcast player. That just takes a few minutes, but is really so helpful in getting the message out about the podcast. If you are a YouTube subscriber, consider finding our channel, Raising Kellen, and subscribe so that you can also be alerted about upcoming podcast through that medium as well. There are not many days left to the year, so we will be coming back to share highlights from this year's podcast. As always, guys, take care and remember, get to the top of your mountain. This is Marsh Naidu signing off. Hello and welcome to the Raising Kellen podcast. My name is Marsh Naidu and I blog at raisingkellen.org, where we curate resources for parents raising children with disabilities. As always, remember the content on this podcast is for your information only, and if you seek advice for your specific situation, to always contact a trained professional.